This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hello, Fran, Carm Capriotto here, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy. Welcome to episode 627 of Remarkable Results Radio. You know, as a shop owner, how does a four-day work week schedule sound to you? Would you like some extra time with family and friends? Where do you start? Well, in this episode, find out how Eric Henley from H-Tech Auto Care in Gray, Tennessee, does it. Now, be careful. You might free up some quality time. You know, we're honored to have NAPA sponsoring this episode, the NAPA Auto Care Gold Certification. They offer a premium tier for members to provide consumers with a consistent experience anywhere in the country. Gold Certified members earn benefits like preferred referrals, $1,500 in marketing funds, tracks free, and more. To learn about Gold Certification, speak to your NAPA representative. The key talking points for this episode that make for a great meeting agenda reside at remarkableresults.biz/E627. Now, the podcast, as you know, is free to all, and you can follow on your favorite podcast listening app. And if you don't have one on your smartphone or smart device, go to remarkableresults.biz/app. Hey, now let's hear from Eric Henley. A warm welcome to Eric Henley, H-Tech Auto Care, Gray, Tennessee.
Good morning, Carm. It's good to be on here.
So glad you're here. There are a ton of things that you and I need to talk about. Most importantly, fixing cars is in your blood.
Four generations of it. Maybe five.
Four, maybe five. I don't even want to know about that. But your grandfather was a blacksmith, you told me, and your dad kept bringing home, what'd you say, Novas and Impalas?
Yeah, constantly. My mother'd look at it, put her hands on her hips, and what if you brought home now, Don? We'd be out there fixing them up.
And it was just kind of the garage or the driveway stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly, or the yard. I remember one time he brought home one. He had me pull the engine out. And it was in the back of a truck, and I was absolutely covered in grease and oil and just loved it. I was probably 11 or 12 years old. So,
and obviously that moved you to want to be a technician.
Yeah, I had already kind of saw it. I was building bicycles and working on lawnmowers with my granddad. So I kind of already saw that that was kind of where I was going with it. So that's kind of how I got into it. From there is on to school and trained and dealership life and now shop owner.
And 15 years in the dealership, right?
Yeah, Honda dealer for 15 years. Great experience. Really taught me a lot about how to treat people, treat employees. It was a great place to work. And I've taken a lot of that with me into my business now. So
one of the things that you told me was that, Carm, your income can go down or go backwards as your skill grew in the dealership.
Yeah, I've listened to some of your stuff, and I've heard other guys say the same thing. As your skill increased, the particular jobs you did were a lot harder, warranty jobs and that kind of thing. They just didn't pay as well. It was a tough thing to swallow. Once you've worked that hard to get where you're at and be a master tech, and then all of a sudden you start going backwards. So,
well, look, at you're 15 years in the business, and occasionally you have to find a new tech. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to grow, right? And I think you're in that growth spurt mode. What's it like to find a new tech?
So indeed, we've done that. We've done Facebook Marketplace. But for us in our area, it's been word of mouth and, you know, finding them within our fellow technicians, because they know that the culture we want to have. So they want to have somebody they can get along with. So I've recently had two referrals from two of my technicians, and have interviewed both of those guys. So, yeah, that's how we're getting them right now here.
How do they look?
Really good. This one is a Skills USA guy. He's 21.
Wow, to bring someone on that young, oh my. I mean, to me, is that exciting for you to want to do that?
It is. You know, I was an associate's degree guy in Northeast, a local college. And so when they gave me a chance, I was about his age when I got into it. And to see that kind of initiative in a kid his age, yeah. I'm very, very fortunate to find him. So we're going to do a working interview with him. I'm going to have him come in and do the DVI and just kind of get a feel of how we do things and then probably just bring him on.
Your requirements weren't for an A tech. Your requirements were for a technician.
Yeah, just basically a C or a B. But then we happened into this guy and he's already got 8 ASE certifications. And yeah.
And what's he doing right now?
He works for a dealership here locally, has been there for about, I guess, 3 years since he graduated school. hungry, wants to learn.
It's a great opportunity to bring in someone from the dealership. We've done some interviews on the podcast like that, and especially episode 588. A good friend of mine, Jim Fleshman, and Matt Manzone. Matt Manzone came from a dealership after, I think, like 15 years to come and work for Jim Fleshman. And he had some great insights. So if anyone is hesitant to recruit or to consider someone from the dealership, hopefully we'll hear more about your story in the future. How about you come back in a year, bring your new young tech, hopefully you get a chance to hire, and let's talk about his transition.
Yeah, being happy to. Good stuff. And I listened to that episode. That was very good.
Glad you did. Food is the way to people's heart. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
I found that out about you. You cook Fridays, right, for everyone?
Either we'll grill something in, or I take them all out to eat someplace, and we have our employee meeting and over a meal and enjoy it. So, yeah, we'll grill steaks sometimes, even Spam. Some of the guys dislike Spam, believe it or not. Yeah, it's a good family environment. We get along well and enjoy time together.
So it's really interesting about you doing your meetings over food. It's always a great reason to, you know, to get together, break bread, talk about the business. Are these meetings that are structured? I mean, you really have a strong agenda? Everybody's involved?
We do the same thing every meeting. We'll just have loose conversation. And I'll ask them, okay, what are your issues this week? What's something we could do better? We could improve. What are the, you know, you need a tool? What do you need? And then I'll bring up some things that I have seen or the service advisors have, and we'll discuss that. And usually I'll have at least one service advisor with us in that meeting so they can give the details about it. But it's just, it's a good, easy way to talk through things and to improve the operation. I mean, just little things. I mean, whether it's tweaking a default in an inspection where it selects something automatically for them, or they need a special tool to do some job with that we saw that week, or even some training, maybe we to learn how to program something differently. It's just all kinds of little things you'll discover in that kind of environment.
Listening, improving. I mean, you can't get out of the fact that standard operating procedures are meant to be changed occasionally because the world changes around us.
Yeah, they move. They move. You change. And that's one thing we're working on in our group right now is changing our SOPs, getting them up to date, because a lot of folks have implemented DVI now, you know, or we've added loaner cars. We all kinds of little things that come up, you know, the industry changes. So you have to change with it.
Do you have your team helping you with that? Because, you know, if they come up with the idea, the change or the policy, then now they own it. Are they doing a lot of that? Yeah.
Yes. And that's the thing, is allowing them the freedom to do some things, giving them the responsibility. Hey, you did a great job on this. I think you need to take care of it. So whether it's a safety thing, maybe we need to add something to make something an operation a little safer, or maybe a communication thing with a service advisor. I'll ask them, what makes you stop? Tell me one thing that makes you stop.
I love that. I mean, that goes back to the lean thing. And, you know, we've done a show on that. And I can't remember who brought that up one time, Eric. Thanks for bringing that up again. And to me, that happens to be probably one of the biggest and bestest questions you could ask your people, your service advisor, your bookkeeper. What makes you stop? Wow. Thanks for bringing that up again. And I'd encourage anyone, go to the website, type in the word lean in the search bar and listen to those few episodes that we've done. But powerful, powerful stuff. Again, you're so involved with your people. I mean, do you know what's going on with their families? Do you know what their goal posters are?
Yeah, I sure do. I usually make at least two or three trips to the shop during a day if I'm on premise. And I'm there about 4 days a week.
Now, wait a minute. Let's stop right there. What do you do in those other 3 days?
Well, we're only open five, so we're closed on weekends. I value that time, and I want them to have their family time too. But the extra day off is just the freedom to go do some other things in the community. Or
keep open five, but you only work four. Now, are you home? You're remote. I mean, are you paying attention to the business even though you're not there?
Yeah, I have a home office, and I can log in and see. You got dashboards and stuff. You can see what's happening. But, you know, that can be addictive too, so you got to discipline yourself not to keep looking at how your white guys are working. Why is he on this job too long? You know, that kind of stuff. Trust your people.
All right. I love it. How did you get to the point, you know, take me to the day that you said, I'm only going to work 4 days. How'd you get there?
That was a commitment within our group two RLO. We have to make commitments. You know, we make goals. And one of my goals last year was to have a 4-day work week. with the COVID and all that, it helped some early on too, because there wasn't as much to do. But then I just made it. It gives me flexibility to go to my daughter's games, do something with my kid, you know, my son, my wife. We can go on road trips. Just a lot of, it's good to have those freedoms. You need them. This is a tough gig sometimes. And if you're in it all the time, it'll eat your lunch. But anyway, yeah, very involved with my employees. I know when their parents are having problems. One of my employees had a mother that was in the hospital for a while. And so I ask about that. You know, wife was going through a job change. You know, there's just all kinds of things. We build flexibility in. We have one technician whose wife has to be into work earlier than he. So he has to take his kids to school. So he gets in about 20 after 8. So we just work around family schedules, that kind of thing. So,
hey, Carm here. And coming up, find out what qualities Eric looks for in a service advisor. Hey, it's Carm, and I'm back to talk Napa Auto Care and auto tech training. Now, as a repair shop owner, you know technical training is essential in the ever-changing world of automotive technology. Or as one auto care owner put it, train or you'll phase yourself right out of business. Thanks to Napa Auto Tech, technicians can keep their skills sharp and their Napa know-how up to date by attending hands-on classroom-style training for almost every vehicle make and model. You can choose from classes in diagnostics, heating and cooling, electrical electronics, brake systems, ignition and fuel systems, plus a whole lot more. Napa Auto Tech is the highest quality training the industry has to offer, and it's presented by experienced instructors who are ASE Master Certified Technicians. Now, some have owned their own shops, and they all have a detailed automotive background. The trainers consistently receive excellent ratings from the technicians who attend. Even after the class is over, techs can access course information online with ClassPass. So when questions come up later, they can use ClassPass to get the answers 24/7 from any computer with an internet connection. Now, what's more, Napa Auto Tech has been accredited by ASE's Continuing Automotive Service Education Program, reviewed against industry standards, and approved by peers. Don't just take my word for it. Auto Care Center owners who have taken advantage of Auto Tech training say that well-trained technicians are helping to increase their shop's repair capability and raise bay productivity. Now, that results in fewer comebacks, more satisfied shop customers, and reduced technician turnover. It's hard to beat that. Your servicing Napa store can tell you even more about the benefits of Auto Tech training, plus the many other reasons to become part of the Napa family with over 17,000 Napa Auto Care Centers from coast to coast, making it the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Thousands of people are going to listen to this and says, Eric's crazy. There's no way I can do that 4-day a week thing. Oh boy, would I ever love to. The wife keeps telling me you got to work a little less. I'm a slave to my business. And you made a commitment to your group. You know, you stood up in the group, probably in a Zoom meeting, and said, I'm going to do 4 days a week by the end of the year or by 2021 or 2020, whatever it was. And people can say, okay, cool. I can't do that. Eric, what did you have to do in order to get there? I mean, was it your people had to know what your plans were so that they could step it up a minute? I mean, did you pass more responsibilities off? Help us understand.
You tell your people, I mean, they've got processes they follow. They know what to do. You trust them to follow those. And if you've got good people, they will. That's where I'm at now. I've got folks that just, they'll follow our processes. They do their best not to bother me. If there's a problem, you know, I told them, if somebody gets hurt, car falls off a lift, I want to know. But, you know, if you blew the estimate, whatever it is, I trust you. You make good decisions. You have in the past. I trust that you will now. I don't want to be asked about every little thing. I trust you guys. You all run the shop well. The technicians do a good job. They're conscientious. They care about what they do. And they want to keep the reputation we've had, turn out a good product, a good repair, take care of our customers. So you just got to have that trust.
It goes without saying that systems is important. Policies, procedures are important. But at the top of your mountain, it's trust.
If you don't trust your people, they know that. And so that creates that need, that neediness. Like, okay, you're the backstop on everything. What do you think about this? Hey, Eric, what do you think about that? No, I don't need to. You don't need to ask me that. I even give them expenditures. If they need to help a customer, you know, that's maybe doesn't have the resources. Here's the dollar amount you have per month to help somebody in need. I trust you with that. You make the decision. If we need to help somebody, we will.
Well, thanks for digging down and helping us. And hopefully we can get more people to have bigger, better, stronger goals of doing something like that. Eric, what makes a great service advisor?
I think it is someone who has excellent people skills. They love to talk to people. They think quickly on their feet. Their personality is such it's warm. Just for instance, kind of like a good waitress or waiter. They're there when you need them. They listen to what you need. And then they go on to the next table. They don't pester you. They don't talk over you. And they listen.
They almost anticipate your needs. Good ones, right? You know, I love the point is they could see that I'm fidgeting. It's time for the bill. I want to get out of here. I'm satisfied. I've got things to do. And some people don't catch that. They don't catch the body language. You gotta have patience to be a service advisor.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they spin so many plates. I mean, just think of all the things that stop a job, whether it's a misdiagnosis or the wrong part or the so many things affect their job. So they have to be patient. They have to persevere through tough things. They have to be able to have conversations with a customer when something didn't go right. Just tell them straight up what happened and offer whatever we need to do to make it right. You know, if we messed up, if we need to offer a rental car, a loaner car, whatever it is, there's just so many things that they have to be able to do in their daily operations. It's just takes a special kind of person.
More than ever, I've seen so much coaching, online classes for service advisors. I'm really thrilled to see it. I mean, it's been around forever, but I've never seen it at a fever pitch like it is now. Have you ever sent a service advisor for coaching?
Yes, both of mine have been to coaching, and then we have ongoing training with a service advisor coach within our little group that we have, our little WhatsApp group. And if you think about it, what degree is there out there that would train a service advisor to do what they do? There's really no training. So it has to be somebody that's either been a service advisor and excelled at it, or possibly a technician, you know, who has good skills, but is physically can't do things. And he knows how to talk to people. So that trainer would understand both sides of it. He'd understand the technician side of it and then the service advisor side of it. And then somebody with a parts experience, you know, that's so, especially in independent auto repair. I mean, they're the service manager or the service advisor and the parts guy in one deal. So
a few moments ago, we talked about potentially hiring a young 21-year-old to join the team as a technician. Do you have any good tenured people on your staff now?
I've got one technician that's been with me 15 years, another one 11. I've got a 3-year experienced younger guy. So yeah, we've got plenty. Our service advisor has been with me 15 years. So we've got people of experience to mentor them. We have a good team environment, so they'll help him learn the process.
What are you doing to keep him current?
Last year was a challenge. We require at least 30 hours of training, if not more, if it's available. So we utilized all the things offered by NAPA, O'Reilly, Federated, any of the 1-800 radio, any of the trainings we could find to do. The online ones we did a few of those last year, but they're just, it's harder to learn that way, at least for my guys. But we did some of that too. So right now we're hoping to get back to live training again. I've spoken with a trainer who right now is, you know, he's having to stay busy with just busy work just to keep his job. And so there's not much training. So I offered to him maybe once or twice a month to pay him to do a lunch and learn, you know, buy a meal and have him come to the shop and train on whatever we ran into that week that we could do better with. So
that's honorable of you to do that, because I know, you know, as bad as restaurants and waiters, waitresses and small business owners got so smashed, depending on the state you live in. Our trainers had one terrible year. We're doing the Town Hall Academy on Zoom burnout. It's going to be interesting to see the different perspectives that people see at, you know, how, you know, virtual training and leader-led are going to blend themselves together, and what did we learn from doing virtual training, and how could we make it more interactive and get more feedback going. So I think it's here to stay, but I think it's got to get better at what it does, and I think it's going to be we're going to have a hybrid version of a little leader-led and some virtual. Going to grow it all? Got any ideas to maybe have another branch?
as far as another location, yeah, we're, like I say, we're talking with another gentleman on that. We had plans to add to our facility at the current location, but we're held up on some sewer issues. We can't get plumbing and stuff in that structure, but we intend to at some point add to facility, improve our waiting area, be able to service more makes and models like trucks and that kind of thing, like the F-250, F-350 diesels and that kind of stuff. So there are plans for that. We're just kind of held up right now on that. But the second location is probably going to be the next step.
I'd love you to come on Aftermarket Weekly and give us a tour of your place. You know, what you guys do from a website perspective, it's a really nice looking facility, a very engaging website. I just so enjoyed this, get to know you and to hear your story and to, hey, 4-day work week. I love this thing. You know, considering hiring a young technician to join the ranks. Great stories, good motivation. Eric Henley, H-Tech Auto Care, Gray, Tennessee. Hey, thanks for being on the show.
Sure, appreciate it. Glad to talk to you. Love listening to you. It's good to actually talk to you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.